Well, grab a cup of coffee. It's time to chat with Rockford Mayor Tom McNamara. A busy, busy week. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Well, busy week. Let's start off with the governor's appearance in Rockford. That had to be, educational, informative, and probably eye-opening, too, for a lot of people, correct?
Sure, yeah. He came in again. He visited the YMCA child care facility over off of Rockton Avenue, and he was there to announce $270 million for child care facilities throughout the state of Illinois.
Which is awesome. And did you have a chance to talk to him about different phases of Rockford and where we stand with our businesses?
So there wasn't tons of time, just being up front with you, Steve, but we're in constant communication about either our concerns or support of different initiatives with the governor's office. As we move forward, I made no bones about it. I was pretty public. I thought we could get indoor restaurant as an option, indoor dining, I should say, and restaurants as an option. And that was one that the governor's office just did not agree with.
But I understand we might be going to a different phase by the end of June, right?
Oh, yeah. So as of, I believe it's June 28th, we would move into phase four, and that would certainly allow indoor dining and allow gatherings of up to 50.
So then would that include the restaurants?
Yeah, indoor dining. Yep.
Indoor dining. But half capacity, or is it like wide open again? Or?
So I don't know if they've actually come out with an official percent as of yet.
Well, I know a lot of restaurants are waiting feverishly for that announcement because they're ready to go. I'm amazed, and I'm sure you are too, about the creativity of the restaurants using outdoor spaces.
They've done a phenomenal job, and I think, they're certainly creative. We know we have some of the best restaurants around in the city of Rockford, and they're the best restaurants because they have tremendous leadership and owners who are always trying to think innovatively and creatively of how they can better serve citizens. And these are unprecedented times for them and for our entire community, and they just continually impress. And you can go from the far east side to the far west side to look at ways that different businesses have stepped up to innovatively serve residents, and it's been good to see. And I'm happy that they're starting to get more income coming in.
And we got great weather, which is helping everybody out.
It certainly is. Every time it rains, you get a little sad just because, unfortunately, right now they can't have that dine-in option. And so we've been fortunate with much of the good weather.
So any latest updates on COVID-19 in the state line in Winnebago County and Rockford?
So I just want citizens to know COVID is certainly still alive and well in our community, and we need to certainly exercise caution when it comes to how we address it. And some of those basic things still hold true. Number one, please make sure that you're washing your hands. Now we are at over 75 deaths. We are at over 2,600 confirmed cases. And so I get people will say, well, 75 deaths, that's still a really low percentage of Rockford residents. It is. It certainly is. But this is a disease when you, and a virus, when you talk to medical professionals who are on the COVID floors of our hospital and working with these patients, that they'll tell you firsthand, you do not want, and you want to take those simple steps to help you avoid contracting this virus as much as you can.
Yeah, it may not be the front and center of all the newscasts and word on the streets, but it's still available. It's still out there, and you still can catch it.
It certainly is, and one thing I would like to make all residents aware of, if you have symptoms or you do not have symptoms, you can go and get tested right now in the city of Rockford free of charge. And you can do that at the University of Illinois School of Medicine on Parkview, or you can do that with the partnership with Crusader Clinic over at Auburn High School.
I was going to ask you, they're still open, correct? And that'll be indefinitely until you announce that they're closed?
They will certainly still be open indefinitely at this point. And again, anyone can go there. It doesn't cost you anything. At this point, you don't need to even have any symptoms to go and get tested.
Which you don't have to be sick. You can just go right now. If I said I wanted to go, I could just drive in there and get tested.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. That's good to know. Because a lot of people feel that you have to be sick or you have to be showing signs before you get tested, but it's open to anyone.
Yeah, so that is newer. I mean, at the beginning, when there was tremendously limited testing throughout the country in Illinois and here in Rockford, yes, we were holding it to those people who did have symptoms of COVID, but now anyone can go and get tested.
Right. Excellent news. Now, moving on to the next headlines that have seemed to be affecting all of us, Black Lives Matter. You came out with a list of initiatives that you're going to be working on for the city, which puts us in the right direction for conversation about racism in our city.
Yeah. These, first and foremost, these are initial steps. There's going to be several others. And second, we all have to understand that Rockford isn't the place we want it to be if it's not the place that supports everyone in our community. And right now, we know, when you look at the statistics, we have tremendous room for improvement. And that, quite honestly, we have a need for some structural changes to ensure that specifically Black Rockford residents have every opportunity to succeed, and that we can root out racism from our community.
And your initiatives, your outlines, was about conversation and community talking to each other.
Yeah, so some is conversation, some is action, and then, so I'll just go through them. First
sure.
and foremost, when I became mayor, we had about less than 20, 25 dash cams in our police vehicles. So since becoming mayor, we have ensured that every one of our police vehicles have dash cams. Our natural progression to that would be body cameras. Body cameras, we just put, where our staff is working on a request for information to be sent out to businesses, and that'll be hitting the streets within the next 10 days, and then that'll be out on the streets for 30 days for businesses to respond to us. And then council and staff will review that and put out an RFP to purchase, to get proposals to purchase body cams for our officers. Second is, I did sign on to My Brother's Keeper Alliance pledge that will allow us to review our use of force policies, and we're going to do so by engaging a diverse array of citizens in our community. We're going to be using the Community Relations Commission. We actually did the first change to our human rights ordinance in over 30 years, just 1 year ago. so this commission will review that use of force, then they'll report back to the community and get feedback from the community. Then from that feedback, we will have council vote on any changes we need for our use of force. The last thing that we did thus far is we've set up listening sessions led by a number of Black leaders in our community. These listening sessions, I think many people in the community say, hey, talk. We've been talking for years. They're right, we have. But I don't think we've been listening for years. And that's unfortunate, but that's something we need to change as a city, and that starts with me. And so we are going to be doing these listening sessions that will include myself, that will include police leadership, including Chief O'Shea, that can include aldermen and members of our Fire and Police Commission. And remember, we have three members of the Fire and Police Commission. Right now, those members are Jessica Jones, Pastor Maurice West Sr., and Sam Schmitz. So we will do these listening sessions so people will be able to bring their stories and voice their concerns, specifically around any interactions that they've had with police, either here or wherever they've lived prior, but also their interactions with the city as a whole. Because we know, yes, that the priority right now is on policing, but we know we have room for improvement in a host of areas. So we want to make sure that we capture those and we holistically address this issue so that every single person in our community can live in an equitable and just city.
Now, these conversations, of course, very important, and they're going to be limited because of space, but will that information be transparent or will it just be filed or somewhere?
The group that came forward to me has asked that several of the sessions be private. Now, what that means is, some of these stories are incredibly sensitive. People will be sharing very personal and heavy stories, and they may not feel comfortable coming forward in a public setting. So out of respect for them, several of the sessions will be private. There will also be public sessions. from these sessions, we will take common themes that we hear and create action items to address those common themes. Very much similar to the process that we went through to create structural change and how we deal with domestic violence survivors as well as their children. So when we dealt with that, we listened to domestic violence survivors in a private setting. We created a document, which we called the GAP document, which is on our city site. It's about 17, 20-page document. And then we literally created action items to address each and every one of those gaps. Obviously, one of the big gaps that have came forward that gets a lot of publicity is the Family Peace Center that we are developing and should be opening this summer. I should say will be opening this summer. The second gap we found is that about 70% of all the violent, 70% of all juveniles that we've arrested for violent crimes have come from homes where domestic violence was prevalent. So they have been experiencing this trauma. And so we need to address that trauma at a younger age. And so we have actually hired a staff member. Her name is Annie Hobson, where she's going to be actually getting into the community. She's getting into the schools to work with our youth to help address that trauma that they've experienced.
And you probably agree with me that there's two phases to this. One is getting everybody to talk. The second most important part is everybody to listen.
Yeah, and I guess I would add a third phase. I mean, yes, we definitely need to talk. And everyone needs to have the opportunity to have a seat at the table, either privately or publicly, whichever one they feel best with. Uh-huh. We always definitely have to be listening so that people are actually heard. But the third phase, we need to act. We need to, where we see changes needed, we need to be ready and willing to take quick action, because I think a number of folks in our community are sick and tired of just talking.
Right. And, you know, action is the hardest part, but that's where we get the most benefits, too, for everyone, all of our citizens. Well, thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, learning something every day living in these times, and not just in Rockford, but any day, anywhere. We all can open up our eyes and learn something new every day. So
certainly. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time to be with you this morning.
Always a pleasure. Rockford Mayor Tom McNamara.